If you would tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. And I want to read verses 11 through 16 and emphasize verse 16. Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 16. Let's pray, and then we'll read the text, and then hopefully God will allow us to say and hear from this text tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that we can be with our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ tonight. It's good to be together, to be able to joke with one another and to love one another. Thankful for that. It is always good to be here in the house of the Lord. No place better, I think, that we could be than here. So thank you for allowing us to come. Pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us by the reading of your word and through the preaching of it. I pray, God, that everything said will be rightly divided. It will be truth, and that you will glorify yourself in and through it. Help us to worship you under this truth by the Spirit of God. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 11 of Acts chapter number 3. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And that's God's word, and all God's redeemed said. We're looking at the text in Scripture that mentions something about the name of Jesus Christ. So far, we have looked at four such texts. Let me just simply read those to you again so that you can hear the inspired Word of God as He exalts Christ in name. Philippians 2:9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Acts 4:10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 10, 12 through 13. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 14, 13 through 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then, of course, the text we read tonight, just reread verse 16. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So in Acts chapter 3, it seems the name of Christ has become the central issue. It certainly is the issue of the conflict, and it seems to me to be the issue of Peter's second sermon here on the day of Pentecost. Peter has healed a man. Well, let me back up. God has healed a man that never has walked. Verse 6 says, if you'll go back and look in your Bible at verse 6, then Peter said to this crippled man at the gate of the temple, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So there's going to be this big controversy concerning the miracle of healing this man, but it's not a controversy about the miracle. It is instead a controversy about the name, Jesus Christ. And Peter, I think, makes his sermon here about the name of Jesus Christ. So there are three things I want to bring to your attention from the text that we read. Number one, the power of the name Jesus Christ. The power of the name of Jesus Christ. Peter tells this crippled man that he has no monetary resources to help him. The beggar, the crippled man, is at the gate of the temple begging for alms. He's appealing to the mercy of people as they come in and out of the temple at prayer time. And he's hoping that in appealing to people's mercy, that will translate into money for him. But Peter says that he has no money. The very thing that the man was expecting, the very thing the man needed, he thinks, Peter doesn't have it. Silver and gold, I have none. But Peter says, I'll give you what I have. And in reality, Peter has something that's better than money. Peter has something more valuable than silver or gold. Peter has something this man needs far more than money. So Peter doesn't have silver or gold, but Peter does have something else. Peter's not empty-handed as he comes to the temple there that day. Peter has the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you say, well, what good is that? Because there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. In this name is the power that can make this man able to rise up and walk. So I think better than a few coins of silver or a few nuggets of gold that could be dropped in his cup, it would be far more beneficial for him to walk. And so verse 8 says, and he, the crippled man, after he was told to rise up and walk, leaping up, stood. He leaps up and stands and walks and enters with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or our own holiness we have made this man to walk? So the man, once he is healed, not only walks for the first time, but he leaps and skips and hops and praises God. And the people, according to Luke, see the man walking and praising God, and they knew this was the crippled man. They had never seen him walk before. He was crippled. They had always seen him at the gate of the temple asking for money, and they are filled with wonder and amazement that this once crippled man is now walking and leaping in the temple. And it seems to me that the crowd, filled with wonder and amazement, were making much of Peter and John. Their amazement and their wonder was not at God, but it was at Peter and John who performed the miracle. They were wondering at them. And so Peter corrects their misapplied praise and attention. Peter asks them, why are you marveling at this? Why are you looking at us as though we, in our own power, our holiness, we have made this man to walk? What Peter says is, look, you're looking and praising and honoring the wrong person. Because Peter knows he had no power to heal this crippled man. Peter knows that this man walks not because of what Peter did, but because of Jesus Christ. Peter knows that he has no power to heal this man. Peter knows that he is not holy enough to heal this man. It is not by the power of Peter or John. It is not because of their holiness. And Peter, in and of himself, could have said, rise and walk, over and over and over again all day long, and this man would not have been healed, because the ability is not in Peter to do it. It's not in John to do it. It's in Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if Peter and John had been a contemporary minister, I'm sure they would have received, like most contemporary ministers, they would have taken the applause and they would have taken the praise. Peter says, no, you've got this all wrong. It is not us. It is Christ. And I want to remind you of something. The work of God is often done through human instrumentality, but it is never because of human instrumentality that the work is done. This man was healed through the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man rises up and walks. There is power in the name of Jesus. Number two, not only notice the power of the name of Jesus Christ, but notice the person of the name of Jesus Christ. I have told you as we have gone through this series that the name simply magnifies the person. And so Peter now speaks to the person that is behind the name. Verse 13. And the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His what? His Son. Who is the Son? Jesus. Whom ye delivered up and denied Him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the what? Holy One and the Just. So He calls Him Son, Holy One, and the Just. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the what? The Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. So Peter says, firstly, you are looking at the wrong people. We have not done this. We have no power to do this. We have no holiness to do this. This was done in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he identifies who this name is applied to, or the person behind the name. The name, the person that truly healed this man. He says here, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. In other words, he says, the God of the Old Testament. The God whom the Jews worship. The God that you know. The God you say you serve. That God. The God of Abraham. Right? The God of Isaac. The God of Jacob. The Jewish God. This God. Your God. Has glorified His Son. Jesus Christ. Jesus had come and humbled Himself to take on a human body. He takes upon Himself our sins. He has the wrath of God poured out upon Him as He hangs, bleeds, and dies on the cross. But God has glorified Him and has identified Him as His Son. So the name of Jesus that heals the crippled man is the person of the Son of God. God has caused Him to have splendid greatness. God has clothed Him in splendor. The man was healed by the name of Him who is the Son of God, whom God has glorified. Then Peter says that this is the same person, the Son of God, the person that healed this man who is glorified by God. He's the same person that you delivered up. He's the same person that you denied in the presence of Pilate. When Pilate was determined to let him go, the person behind this name that heals this man, whom God glorified as the Son of God, is the same man you crucified. You handed this man over to be crucified. When you had a chance to support him, when you had a chance to come to his aid, when Pilate could find no wrong in him, instead of asking for his release, you cried, "Crucify him! Let his blood be on our hands!" And if that wasn't bad enough, when Pilate wanted to release him, you would have none of that. You demanded he be killed. You denied him. You repudiated him. You disowned him. And he is the Holy One. He is the just, the righteous. And you would not have him. Instead, you desired to have a convicted murderer to be released instead of the Holy One. You hated him so much that you would rather have a murderer set free than the Son of God set free. You demanded that he be killed. And when you killed him, you killed the Prince of life. Do you notice the play on words there? They delivered the one to be crucified who had come to deliver them from their sins. They desired a murderer to be released instead of desiring the Holy One and the Just One. They killed the one who came to give them life. And notice the names again that are put here by Peter: the Son of God, the Glorified One, Jesus, the Holy One, the Just, the Prince of Life. That's the person behind the name. He has all power, all authority. He is absolutely righteous. He is absolutely just. He is holy. He is the life-giving Savior of the world. And you have delivered him up to be killed. But God, Yahweh, your God, the God you serve, the God you say you worship, that God hath raised him from the dead. And we are the witnesses to that resurrection. Number three, the proclamation of the name of Jesus Christ, verse 16. And his name, Jesus, the Holy One, the Son of God, the Just, the Prince of Life. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of Peter proclaims that this man was healed by faith in the name or the person of Jesus Christ. And I think Peter and John had faith in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Or Peter would not say, "What I have is the name of Christ, but I have faith in the name of Christ that he can heal you." And I think the beggar has faith in the name of Jesus Christ as well, or he would not have risen. So this man is made well by faith. Say amen. By faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth. So it's not just faith and trust in anything. It's faith and trust in Christ. And in trusting His name, he was trusting in the person of Jesus Christ. He was trusting in the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And just as this man must trust in the name of Jesus Christ for his physical healing, all of us must trust in the name of Jesus Christ for our spiritual salvation. The only way that we can have strength and soundness is if it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We are not saved by works. We are not saved by being godly. We are not saved by doing good. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the only way that we can be saved. So the person that you killed, this man trusted in his name. You killed him, but this man trusted in his name. And in trusting in his name, he was healed. You killed him, but anyone can be saved and made spiritually strong and perfectly sound if they trust him for their salvation. The only hope man has is in his. Now, I said at the outset that the problem was not in the healing of the man. It was in the name they did the healing in. That is always the way it is. That's the way it will continually be, and I think we will see it more manifest in our own environment in America. I don't think people are upset when somebody is healed. I don't think people are upset when people are helped. But you can't bring up that name. You can have soup kitchens, you can have daycares, you can have orphanages, you can have whatever you want to have to help people, but you can't bring up that name. You can do good things all day long as you keep Christ out of it. Look down in your Bibles at chapter number 4. Let's read verses 13. This is why you should bring your Bibles, because I won't put everything on the screen. Chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read through verse 18. Notice this conflict that comes up. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let me stop there for just a minute. I wish people could perceive that we had been with Jesus. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, Not that they quit doing miracles, but that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. The world has a problem with His name. They don't mind the miracles. They just don't want the miracles to point to Him. They tell Peter and John, do not mention His name anymore. Do the miracles. Take the praise yourself. Do not mention the name of Jesus Christ again. And Peter said, nope. This is what he actually said. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He says, whether we should listen to you or listen to God, that's, you know, you make that call. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And if you have experienced the power and the person of Jesus Christ in and through your own salvational experiences, you cannot help but proclaim what you have seen and what you have heard. You cannot help but proclaim His name. You know what Peter says? There could be no healing without the proclamation of His name. What do you mean, don't mention His name? There can nobody be healed if we don't mention His name. There can be nobody saved if we don't mention His name. It is faith in His name. Verse 16 says, it's faith in His name. How can we not mention His name? Peter says, we will not be silent concerning His name. Because His name, the faith in His name has healed this man. His name is above every other name. His name is the Prince of Life. His name is the Son of God. His name is the Just One. His name is the Righteous One. His name is Jesus. His name is Savior. His name is Lord. We cannot do anything without mentioning His name. Do you know what not mentioning the name of Jesus would have done? It would have made the work of God attractive to a lost world. And Peter says, not interested in making the work of God attractive to the lost world if we have to remove the name of Christ. Fanny Crosby wrote a song about being redeemed. The song includes these words. Here is a verse out of that song and then the chorus. You know it. She wrote, I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Redeemed. His child and forever I am. If they tell me we cannot have a school if we point people to Jesus, we won't have a school. If they tell us we can't have our tax-exempt status if we continually point people to Jesus and mention His name, we won't have tax-exempt status. We will not, as a church, not mention and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. For in Him there is power. In Him there is salvation. In Him there is hope for lost man. He is the only hope. So mention His name. Mention His name. Not just God, but Jesus. Mention His name, the Son of God, who has come to take our sins and take our punishment and die on the cross for us, becoming the curse so that we could have life. Mention His name. I'm reminded of the story. It just came to my mind, so I'm trying to work it through my mind right now, how it goes. It's a true story. I can't remember the other fighter's name, Terrell something. He was fighting. He was getting ready to fight Muhammad Ali. And he refused to call Muhammad Ali by his name. Instead, he called him Cassius Clay. And Muhammad Ali got upset. And for 12 rounds, Muhammad Ali beat the living snot out of him. And every time Muhammad Ali would hit him, he'd say, "What's my name? What's my name? What's my name?" The world needs to hear His name. Say His name. Proclaim His name. Sing His name. His name is wonderful.